Our Bible story today is the story from the life of King David. The time when David brought the Ark of the Covenant into the city of Jerusalem. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 6, and we'll begin reading it at verse 12. It was told King David, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the Ark of God." So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the Ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting, with the sound of the trumpet. As the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. They brought in the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and offerings of well-being before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the offerings of well-being, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed food among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, to each a cake of bread, a portion of meat and a cake of raisins. Then all the people went back to their homes. David returned to bless his household, but Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How the king of Israel honored himself today, uncovering himself today before the eyes of his servants' maid as any vulgar fellow might shamelessly uncover himself." David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me in place of your father and all his household to appoint me as prince over Israel, the people of the Lord, that I have danced before the Lord." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, let our lives be a great and glorious dance to your goodness. May we follow as you lead. Amen. As far as I know, only one member of my family ever made any money by dancing. It was not on So You Think You Can Dance. It was not on Dancing with the Stars. It was not on Broadway. It was not even in a local Nutcracker production anywhere. The family member I have in mind was my great-great-grandfather. His name was Kemper Crawley Morgan, on my mama's side. He was 16 years old, living in Marshall County, North Mississippi, up near the Tennessee line, out from Holly Springs, a little crossroads called Waterford. He was 16 years old in June 1861. They were forming a company of men to go and fight the Yankees. They were calling themselves the Rough and Readies. And he went to the courthouse, and he had a good horse, a fast horse, and he had a pistol. And he was 16 years old, but they let him enlist in the Rough and Readies, and they made him a messenger, a courier, because he had a good horse and could ride fast and had a sidearm. So they became Company D, joined up the 17th Regiment, Mississippi Infantry. They headed north. And he was the courier, and he did a great job for 1 month. As soon as they got close to any of the enemy, he was captured on the first day and sent to a prisoner of war camp in New York. Turned 17 in October in a prisoner of war camp. Spent the war there, which probably saved him, probably the reason I'm able to be alive. So they turned him loose at the end of the war and said, "Go home." Well, he He didn't have any money. They didn't have a way to get home. But he knew how to dance. The family story is he knew how to dance a jig. I guess it was like clogging. And so he went into the nearest town and put his cap on the ground at a street corner and began to dance. And people would throw pennies, I guess, and he'd buy a little food, and he'd walk on to the next town. And he'd put his hat down and he would dance. He danced all the way from New York, across the corner of Pennsylvania, down Ohio, into Kentucky, into Tennessee, across Tennessee, and got back home in northern Mississippi, Marshall County, the crossroads of Waterford. He danced all his way home. I don't think he ever left the state again. I guess he danced because he was good at it. I guess he danced because he was kind of glad to be free. He was out of prison. I guess he danced mainly because he was going home to people he loved. You know, the Bible tells us King David danced that day when they brought the Ark of the Covenant up into Jerusalem. You know, the Ark was that holy box covered in gold leaf, and it had inside it the tablets of stone upon which God had written the commandments and given them to Moses. And so that holy box was the most holy object that Israel had. And it had traveled with them in the wilderness. And so they're going to bring it into the city. And David dances as the parade brings it in. I wonder why he danced. Sometimes I think maybe David dances because he's pretty happy at what he has achieved. David has spent years, decades fighting all his enemies. He has finally defeated his arch rival Saul, who had been the king, who was his father-in-law, by the way. He has united all the tribes from the north and tribes from the south, and he is setting up this capital city right there, not in the north, not in the south, right between them. That's where he put his capital. Smart move, strategically, politically. The city, we call it Jerusalem. Actually, the Bible says it was called the city of David. He had a town named for him. Maybe he's dancing because finally he had gotten to the top of the heap. You remember he was the baby, the runt of the litter. He was number eight of the boys. And when they come looking for a leader, you know, the daddy parades all the boys through. And David, by the way, by that time, he's not even counted. He's out tending the sheep. And finally, they call him in, and he's the one who's going to become king. And David, the one who starts off when we meet him as tending sheep, becomes the shepherd of Israel, the shepherd of the whole nation. And so he is dancing. Maybe he's probably heard what the women sing about David. Saul has killed his thousands, David his 10,000s. He's like a rock star, and everybody loves him. And so maybe he's just dancing because he is so pleased with himself. And he is a guy who has risen from the bottom to the top. And so bring in the covenant box, the Ark of the Covenant. I mean, he is already in charge politically, militarily. And now he's going to be in charge religiously. He is bringing that box into his city. He's going to show everybody who's boss. Maybe that's why he dances. Or maybe he's dancing to show people they don't need to be afraid of that box. Because 3 months before in the story, if you read back what happened before this story, they had tried to move the box up into the city. And they put it on an ox cart. And they had 30,000 soldiers as an escort. And they had tambourines and lyres and cymbals and bells, and they were bringing it up. And it was on an ox cart, and it began to rock. And one of the oxen drivers thought it was going to fall. And so he reached out to touch it, and boom, he was destroyed immediately. Boy, that stopped David in his tracks. David said, let's rethink this plan. And so there was a man that lived near there named Obed-Edom, a Gittite. And so David said, can we leave some at your house for a while? And so we'll just put it out here. I wouldn't get too close to it. And so they left the box for 3 months. David wasn't sure he was even wanted that thing. But 3 months later, the report came that the family of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, they have been blessed. And so David thinks, maybe it's okay to move this box. And so this time they move it like it's supposed to be moved. It says you're supposed to put it on poles. They had big rings on it, and they had these gold-covered poles, and they sort of carried it like that. So maybe he's dancing to show people that it's not dangerous, that it's safe to have the symbol of the living God nearby. They believe God lived everywhere, but they said if God was present in concentrated form in one place more than any other place, it was there. And so David leads the parade that day. He is the grand marshal. He is the drum major. He is the head majorette. He is the featured flag twirler and fire baton thrower and dance line all rolled into one. And he steps and he struts and he leaps. Maybe he does all that with joy to show the people that what happened to Uzzah, the man who had touched it and died, is not going to happen to us. This is going to be a blessing. Maybe that's what he does. But there's one other little thing in the story that makes me think maybe there was something else going on. It's verse 14. It says, David danced before the Lord with all his might. And that reminds me of something I've read. You've read it probably. It's in Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall serve the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That phrase is the creed of Israel. That's the heart of the law, the whole Old Testament. When Jesus is asked, what do I need to do to have eternal life? He said, what do you read in the law? And they say, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And Jesus says, do that. Love your neighbor, and you will live. The story says, David danced with all his might. I like to think what's going on is that all this energetic dancing is simply David offering his whole self to God. He is showing with every muscle, with every bit of energy, with every bit of strength he has, that he loves God. Early in the story, we had learned that David is a man after God's own heart. And here he shows it. He shows it with his whole body. It's not just a head thing. It's not just his heart. It's all his energy and all his strength. He puts his whole self into it, everything he has. I like to think that what David is doing in this moment, he understands, he gets it. Not how great he is, but how great God is. And I like to think David is celebrating in this moment, not all that he has done, but all that God has done for him, bringing him to this point in life. And I like to think he's showing, he's not showing off how good a dancer he is, or even how good he is as a king, but he's showing how good God is. His wife will fuss at him about that, one of his wives. She said, you were kicking up a little bit too high. I think you were showing off in that tunic. with all that fancy dance. And she said, you have debased yourself and demeaned yourself. And David says, I would do it all over. I did it for the Lord. You know, if you wanted to, I think you could say that every day we live, we are all dancing some kind of dance. I mean, every day we wake up, we move our bodies, we go through motions of some kind every day. Every moment we live and move and breathe, we're dancing to somebody's tune. We will move through the day with some kind of rhythm. Some of you begin your day with a mommy mambo. Get up, get them up, get them dressed, get them fed, get them everything they need, get them out the door, get them to school. You start with a mommy mambo. Some of you start with the demanding 231, 431 shuffle or the Research Parkway rumba. You've got to get through the traffic. Some of you do the teacher tango all day, don't you? Trying to get the students to move with you. And then some of you who are students, I mean, you have to do the student slide. You got to move with the teacher. And some of you do the sales samba all day. You're making the calls, calling the customer, taking care of them, promoting the product, encouraging people to buy what you're selling. Some of you do the builder's ballet. You start on the ground and you add to it and it rises up off the ground. Some of you do the computer conga all day, manipulating data. A few of you, I know, do the project manager polka. You're thinking through the process, bringing the resources in on time. A few of you even do the farmer foxtrot. That's a never-ending dance. Goes fast, goes slow, depending on the season and the weather. Some of you do the do assembly line dancing. Some of you do the leadership limbo and homemakers hip hop and retiree waltz. That's a good one. We are all moving to some rhythm every day. We are moving to somebody's music. We are performing for someone every day. The whole witness of the Bible is to do our life dance, to do it all with God, and to do it to God, and to do it for the glory of God. Whatever we do, Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as though working for the Lord, not for men. The invitation is for it not to be all about me, but about God. The invitation is to get so involved in whatever dance we're doing that we are no longer preoccupied with ourselves, but we live out fully the beauty and the glory of God. To love the Lord with our mind, our body, our spirit, and our soul. To love God with all we have. To make our very lives a work of devotion and a living sacrifice to God. I guess that means we're all called to do the kind of hokey-pokey, where you put your whole self in, at least that part of it. To step out in faith and trust that even when we misstep and we fail God, God doesn't fail us. To know that we can finish the dance and we can get home because, not because we're good at it, but because God is good. It is grace all the way home. The Bible does not say what kind of dance David did. I don't know the name of that dance. But if we read the rest of the story, we see it was kind of a funny dance and we can figure out part of it. Because for David, it was always two steps forward and one step back. I mean, David loved God. He was the man after God's own heart. He tried to love God and to serve God and to do right. He wrote all those psalms that we sing 3,000 years later. Often he was able to take two steps in service to God and do it faithfully. But David stumbled. He was a man of violence. He couldn't manage his appetite sometimes. He lied sometimes. He failed. He disappointed God. It may have been two steps forward in some days, but it was one step back. But the thing about David, he never stopped trying and dancing to put his whole self in. His whole life, he kept loving God and serving. He never gave up on God, and God never gave up on him. God was leading the dance. Two steps forward. David would take one back, but God would say, don't stop now. And that's what he says to us. The music's not over. Keep going. Two steps forward. The dance goes on. And that's what we're called to do. To dedicate the dance of every day we live to God. To turn everything we have over to Him. To put our whole self in. To love Him with our soul, our mind, our heart, and all our strength. To surrender our lives to the only one we can safely surrender our lives. Or as that great theologian said, dance with the one that brought you. Brought you to life. Stay with the one who loves you. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord of life, we thank you that you put your whole self in for us. Then in Jesus, you entered into our earthly life and went through all the motions we must go through. And we give thanks that through it all, Jesus loved God and showed us how to do it. Lord, help us to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Out of thanksgiving for all we have received, let us make our offering. If the acolytes and the ushers would come, that we might be generous. Invite them to come now. Would you join me in the ancient words of our affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed? Let us say together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Scriptures say you are God's masterpiece. God gives thanks that He made you. And so you go every day and love God with all your heart and with your mind and your soul and your strength with all you have. Love the one who loves you as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Alleluia. Amen.